Everybody to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am joined by nobody. The Lakers just finished losing to the Utah Jazz. I believe the score was, I don't care, to a little bit less than that. The Lakers tank gets back on track. So those of you who are interested in that, way to go. Enjoy tonight. That's a big win slash loss. Tonight's show is going to talk about a couple things. So Bill Oram wrote an article for The Athletic about Luke Walton and the way that he's approaching these last few games of the season. It's hard not to read that and picture Luke Walton as almost a sympathetic figure, though even that is a bit of an oversimplification. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. We are going to talk a little bit about Kyle Kuzma, who went out to Utah and has been really struggling lately. Like his field goal percentage has been heading into the Utah game was, I think, just at 30% over his last like four games. And I want to talk a little bit about, you know, why it is so vital that the Lakers don't keep kind of crawling to the finish line and that, you know, heading into next year, that they figure out, you know, what went wrong medically across this entire roster. Yes, there were some freak injuries and stuff like that, but Kyle Kuzma, you know, had he was a bit of a disappointment this year to me, in my opinion. But, you know, I still think that there was a way to redeem this season. But because he's not surrounded by literally anyone at this point, it's becoming more and more apparent that that might not be how this works out. So we're going to talk about that. And then I'm going to tease a conversation that Pete and I are going to have for, by the time you guys are listening, this tomorrow's show, Friday's show, about, you know, the coaching options that the Lakers have had so far, the candidates that we would prefer, and all of that. So there's a ton to get to today. It's going to be a little bit shorter of a show because, you know, it's a Thursday night here. The Lakers just finished losing for way too often. So, you know, I just want to kind of get in here, hammer out these points, and then get you guys ready for the conversation that I think you're really going to enjoy between Pete and I in tomorrow's show. So let's start here, though, with Bill Oram's report of the situation here with Luke Walton and now Tyronn Lue, who felt the need, because of how many rumors that are floating around right now, he felt the need to reach out to Walton to say that if the Lakers contact him while Walton is still employed by the Lakers, that he would tell Walton and tell the Lakers to hold off because it's kind of disrespectful to Walton. Class act and a class move there from Tyronn Lue. Oh, by the way, really quickly, I want to let you guys know that, you know, you guys know where to find the show, and I want to tell you about Himalaya, the app to find the show. It's a really cool app. It's a really cool marketing company. They have partnered with us and offered us a ton of support here for the foreseeable future. So check out Himalaya. It's spelled just like the mountain range, and you can find the podcast there and any other podcasts across the network that you might want to pay attention to. But anyway, back to the situation here with Luke Walton and Tyronn Lue. One thing that I actually really like about the NBA, because, you know, the statement goes, or the saying goes, as it pertains to NBA head coaches, that, well, you're hired to be fired eventually, right? And while that's a really dark way to look at things, it's the proper way to deal with the unfortunate truth that you have going into any of these jobs. And so as a result of that, NBA head coaches they have this fraternity, and there are these unwritten rules amongst these, and maybe even written, but there's a coaches union, and they have pretty strict guidelines that they enforce to make sure that they and other potential and future NBA head coaches don't screw each other over. And this is why it rubs me the wrong way when I see guys like Mark Jackson and guys like Jason Kidd go out there and just publicly position themselves for jobs that are already held. And then, you know, Tyronn Lue, in this case, is telling Luke Walton, hey, man, I'm not responsible for these rumors. These are a product of somebody else. And just so that we're clear, if the Lakers do reach out, I'm not going to screw you over here. I do want to abide these rules and these guidelines so that, you know, if I'm ever put in the same situation, whoever does that, whoever is the me in the situation for, in this case, the you, they don't screw me over in the same way. And I think that's really respectable. And, you know, one thing I don't want to have happen here with Tyronn Lue is to kind of already give up on Lue because he's seen as the leading candidate. I've done a lot of thinking about this. So what we're going to do really quickly, we're going to throw to a break. We're going to pay a couple bills. I'm going to come right back, and I want to talk about Tyronn Lue, the candidate, before we move on to Kuzma and everything else that I wanted to cover. And then, you know, I'll also circle back and make sure to hammer home the point about Luke Walton. While he might feel like a sympathetic figure, you know, he didn't necessarily do himself as many favors as he probably should have. And I think both sides are going to be able to learn from all of this moving forward. So hang tight. When we come back after the break, we're going to keep on trucking along. Keep on trucking along. That's the best you could come up with there, huh? Anywho, like I was saying a second ago, though, so Tyronn Lue right now, what happens in these kinds of situations, if we're frustrated with the outcome with somebody that we do like, in this case, Luke Walton, you tend to lash out at whoever is the replacement there, right? Just like the converse of that, the inverse of that is, you hate somebody, the previous coach, so much that no matter who it is, they are a knight in shining armor, right? So like Byron Scott was so bad that just about anybody that the Lakers hired was going to look good by comparison. And what's important here is to continue to try to analyze these hires and the decision-making process that goes into them with as close to objectivity as you possibly can, right? So, yes, am I not a fan of the way that this front office has handled Luke Walton? No, I'm not. I don't think they've done enough to give him a legitimate chance at sticking around. But if they go through the proper steps and if they wind up walking away with an upgrade in, you know, I do think Tyronn Lue is an upgrade over Luke Walton. If they go through the proper steps and interview enough people, as Pete and I will talk about tomorrow, then, you know, whoever shows up, you know, we have to try to analyze that person in a vacuum, as close to a vacuum as we possibly can. So, you know, it's still a bummer the way that this is all appearing to play out and how publicly it's playing out. And Luke Walton deserves a ton of credit for remaining professional while the Lakers seem to have their candidate search or their coaching search underway with him still employed. He deserves a ton of credit for that. And, you know, he goes out there and he says that he still expects to be the head coach next year. Well, what else is he going to say, right? Nope, I'm gone. I am not coming back. Have you guys not been paying attention, right? There's nothing he can really do here, given the situation, but to just kind of play things as professionally as he can and prepare himself for whatever happens moving forward. And you know, that kind of brings me to this next point regarding the Lakers and Luke Walton is that, you know, Luke Walton has an opportunity here. When you get knocked down, you ask yourself, how did I arrive in the dirt the way that I'm currently residing, right? And if you ask yourself that question, you're honest with yourself about that question, you can grow as a result of getting knocked in the teeth a little bit, right? The Lakers also have to ask themselves, all right, Luke Walton entered this situation as one of the NBA's more promising young coaches. There seems to be at least a couple teams out there who might still be interested in Luke Walton moving forward. What happened? What did we do wrong to arrive at a point where one of the league's more promising young coaches is just rumor fodder, right? And if both sides ask themselves those questions and answer those questions honestly, there's a chance that both sides can grow moving forward. And that's really all I care about, right? Would I have preferred that Luke Walton maybe figure things out a little bit more quickly? Yeah, because that means the Lakers would have been better a little bit more quickly. Would I have preferred that the Lakers care even a little bit about developing players and not just replacing them? Yes, because that's half of running a decent organization. So I think for everybody involved here, if they can grow, they can figure these things out and move forward, then, you know, you make the best of a crappy situation. Let's move on really quickly here to Kyle Kuzma, who has been struggling. And I think his struggles are indicative of something that the Lakers, again, need to grow from, right? Kuzma at this point, so the Lakers take on the Jazz last night. Lonzo Ball out, Brandon Ingram out, LeBron James out, right? Those are three primary ball handlers who can help Kyle Kuzma get easier shots. And, you know, I think Kuzma, as a result of not having these guys there or around consistently, has gotten into the habit of trying to do too much and has started making the game too complicated for himself. And now this is where, you know, you kind of have to ask yourself as an organization, it's not a tanking thing. But on nights where you have so few other NBA players out there, is it actually good for Kuzma to play in that game, right? Is it actually good for Kuzma to continue to play and continue to repeat these bad habits as he tries to score in the only ways he really can score, right? Like if he's going out there and he's on a court with Rajon Rondo and Lance Stephenson and JaVale McGee and another G League player, right? He's going to be the focal point of the opposing defense and as a result is going to try to force things that aren't necessarily there. And, you know, I just don't think that's really the best thing for him. So it's going to reach a point here over the next seven games, I believe. Over the next seven games or so, what the Lakers are going to have to ask themselves is, all right, on nights where LeBron isn't playing, maybe we're best off sitting Kuzma too. And it's not a matter of tanking, though, you know, let those jokes fly, right? It's not a matter of tanking so much as it's a matter of developing Kuzma in as good a situation as you can, despite having so much go wrong around you. And then, you know, as a larger point, as I was teasing earlier, the Lakers do need to, this upcoming offseason, they need to figure out what the hell's going wrong here. With injuries. It's not, you know, Lonzo Ball steps on somebody's foot and twists an ankle. And, you know, that's not really necessarily a something you can plan for, right? Brandon Ingram gets a blood clot and has a nerve issue, right? And that's not necessarily something you can necessarily plan for. But, you know, and then again, LeBron James takes a step backwards, tweaks his groin, and misses a quarter of the season. So some of these things, all right, fine. There's not necessarily anything that the Lakers can do about it. But, you know, it's always something with Lonzo, isn't it? And it always felt like it was something with the other Lakers on the roster. Tendonitis popped up, pneumonia popped up. Tyson Chandler hasn't been whole basically since the first 10 games that he played with the Lakers. Now he might just be washed and it wouldn't shock me if he just retired this upcoming off season. But you know, what the Lakers need to really figure out here is, do we actually have the best medical staff that money can buy? Are we actually investing enough in this, in this aspect of the organization? Because these are, you know, the entire Lakers roster is worth, you know, about $100 million, right? And you would think that with a roster that costs that much money, you would want to situate it so you can get the highest return on that investment as you possibly can. Now, when you're talking about medical staffs, unfortunately, with some businesses, they do care about return on that investment as well, right? The investment of a medical staff itself. But it's still, you know, the Lakers shouldn't care about those things. They print money. Get the best. Get not the closest, not, you know, Gunnar Kardashian, whatever the situation was there, not Marco Nunez, who would happen to be Gary Vitti's right-hand man. And Gary Vitti, by the way, by the time he retired, I wasn't necessarily thrilled with the way he was handling things either, right? So what the Lakers, I think, need to figure out here is, are we allocating proper resources to make sure that these guys stay healthy? Because, you know, let's say the Lakers go with, you know, let's say the best offseason possible happens. The Lakers walk away with, they bring back, obviously, LeBron James. They have Kawhi Leonard. And they figure out a fair trade for Anthony Davis. Davis, in my fantasy league teams, was known as Anthony Data Davis, right? He's on an almost nightly basis, you get some kind of report that, oh, he's heading back to the locker room, right? So the Lakers have to make sure that he is put in the best situation to succeed health-wise. Kawhi Leonard missed all of last year with an ambiguous injury and sits out games regularly to make sure that that doesn't happen ever again. For the Lakers, they already saw what happened here with LeBron James. They can't have that repeat itself. So if the Lakers offseason goes absolutely as phenomenally as it possibly could, and they still don't allocate the proper resources to make sure that these guys stay healthy, it's all for naught, right? So, you know, to put a bow on this segment here, the Lakers really have to start asking themselves if it's actually in Kuzma's and the Lakers' best interest for him to keep playing under these circumstances, and then moving into next year, how can those circumstances be improved? We're going to take one more second here, pay a couple more bills, and when we come back, I am going to keep talking about, or at least preview, the conversation that Pete and I am going to have tomorrow. All right, so basically tomorrow's conversation, we already recorded it earlier today because I'm going out of town. And the way it's going to go down is like Pete and I were just sitting there like, what could we talk about that is evergreen enough to just post a day in advance? And we realized, like, holy crap, we've talked a ton about Luke Walton. We've talked a ton about the situation that the Lakers have handed him, but we haven't really talked enough about how to move forward with it. And, you know, we've already had that conversation. Like I said, it's a really good one. I think you're really going to enjoy it. But one thing that I walked away from that conversation with is whoever this head coach is going to have their work cut out for them. And just like I talked about a second ago with the resources that the Lakers need to allocate next year in regards to its medical and training and conditioning staff, they're going to have to make sure that this head coach is situated well enough and is the right guy for the job, because that person is going to walk into quite the shit show. Let's put it this way. This next head coach is going to be working with a front office that should be eating humble pie, but we all kind of sort of know they won't be, right? I would imagine the way that this offseason is going to go is they're going to spend this last season and the offseason that they had with, you know, well, injuries just took us apart and we weren't able to recover, right? And if that happens, then that whoever this next head coach is might be dealing with a similarly flawed roster, right? We also know that this front office can be kind of combustible. Remember, only 7 games into this last season, Luke Walton was pulled into Magic Johnson's office and basically berated because the flawed roster that Magic Johnson put together wasn't performing to his expectations, right? So whoever this next head coach is going to be is going to have to deal with that type of ego and that type of combustibility and have the patience to just, you know, let those conversations run off his back like water off of a duck's feather, right? This next head coach is also going to have to try to juggle the egos of LeBron James and this front office, right? Because they haven't always seen eye to eye. And one thing that I heard over the course of the season a little bit is the Lakers as an organization grew a little uncomfortable with how much power that LeBron James wanted to wield. And that's not going anywhere, right? So this next head coach is going to have to figure out ways to deal with that, those egos and the drama that results in that. And then speaking of drama, the Lakers are maybe the leakiest organization in the NBA right now, I would say. Like, right, like there are teams that leak a ton. There are teams that drive the narrative regarding moves that they're making and moves that they're thinking about making. But generally speaking, they handle that narrative pretty well. The Lakers, meanwhile, it's just whatever comes to anybody's mind at any point in this organization, it just makes its way out there. Fire away, apparently, right? Even if the reports or the leaks that surface out there run contrary to other leaks. So, like, for example, one thing is Adrian Wojnarowski has a relationship with Rob Pelinka because of Kobe's playing days. And so that Jason Kidd rumor, either that came from Kidd and his camp, right? And then made its way public as he tried to position himself for an NBA gig, which he has done before, so it's altogether possible. But let's just say, and I'm not saying that this is actually the case, but let's just say that came from Rob Pelinka, right? And then it immediately gets shot down the next day by Magic Johnson by way of Stephen A. Smith, right? And, you know, that's not great. I don't, while it makes my job easier, and while it makes both of my jobs easier as a writer and as a podcaster, that's not what I want my organization to, that's not how I want them to handle their business. So, you know, the head coach is going to have to deal with the drama internally and then probably a ton of external drama because the Lakers haven't figured out a way to control the narrative. All this before, by the way, they have to figure out a way to coach whatever roster is given to them, right? We don't even know what that roster is going to look like. Like, if I had to ask you point blank, if I made my way into your car, into your home, whatever, and I asked you point blank, who besides LeBron are you comfortable enough to bet a half of your next paycheck that they'll be on the roster next year? Is there a single person that you could say that you'd be able to bet that, you'd wager that comfortably on? Probably not, right? So whoever this next head coach is going to have to deal with a ton of external and internal politics, ton of drama, ton of crap, right? And then they're also going to have to hit the ground running with a roster that is probably the vast majority of the roster was not there last year, have never played together. Good luck, right? Like, good luck to whoever this next head coach might be. And you know what? I hope it works out. I talked a little bit earlier about how, you know, I don't want to you know, just kind of trash Tyronn Lue before he even shows up, if he's even hired, right? I don't want to trash the process before we even see what that process looks like. But whoever this next head coach is going to be is going to have their work cut out for them. And, you know, the Lakers need that person to be 100% ready and up for that task. That'll do it for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. Thank you guys a ton for tuning in. Thank you, Himalaya, for supporting us and offering us up another platform. Check them out if you're looking for another way to listen to podcasts and spoken word type content. It's a really cool app. It's a really cool platform. So that's Himalaya, just like the mountain range. And I will talk to you again tomorrow.